put this out in my first book. You'll find it's the last chapter in my first book, which was Tectonic Chaos. And I'm not telling you this because of braggadocio. The Missionary Baptist Seminary in Little Rock, one of the teachers, a couple of them, encouraged me to write a book about tectonic chaos. So in the last chapter, I put something that was a little different. And because that was in there, they asked me to take it out. And I said, no, I don't want to take that out. So they wouldn't publish it. I mean, there weren't any hard feelings or anything. But I went to them and I said, what's wrong with that? And they said nothing. I didn't say nothing, the word nothing, they just sat there. And I said, that's right. And I said, it follows everything you've taught me here. You taught me to use context. And I said, I use chronological context on that to make sure. No one has ever been able to debate me or show why this is wrong. And it's right, but it's quite different. And so I think you'll enjoy it because it doesn't do any violence to the scriptures. But this came up yesterday, last night, and I told you I'd do it today, so I'm going to do it. But it's in the last page of Tectonic Chaos, just like you see it here. Page one of six individual pages. I did it one page at a time, separate, and they're all blank on the back. Because I wanted to do this like our school, and if Cooney wanted to take some notes alongside, she could. But I'm going to show you something in the Bible that you don't have to understand Greek to understand this. You don't have to be highfalutin and have a great education, etc., etc., etc. All you have to do is just look what the Bible says. Look above the scripture, look after it, and it'll usually give you the answer. The 1,000 years between the first and second resurrections. Now there is a resurrection we call the rapture, the catching out, which we believe is on the seventh trumpet. And the second resurrection is called the second death. It's the second resurrection because the people have to come up, and they come up in their old bodies, and they stand before the Lord, and there they are. The two groups at the great white throne, special prophecy update number 230A, June 3rd, 2005. I put this out on the internet all over the world. Not one person challenged me. And so it's very difficult to disprove. So I want to show it to you, and I want you to think about it because it answers a lot of questions. July 3rd, 2005. This is the final chapter in my 1976 Tectonic Chaos book. Tectonic Chaos, chapter 36, the final judgment of mankind, what we call the great white throne of judgment. And I'm going to show you something about it that is very, very interesting. Tectonic Chaos, chapter 36, the final judgment of mankind. Have you ever wondered when those saved in the millennium will be judged by God? Now, if you think people are going to live 1,000 years, that isn't true. Because they're going to live an average of 100 years. The Bible indicates that in our time, the standard normal rate would be 70 years. Three score. And if you were fortunate, you might live another 10 years, and you can live on past it. When the Bible does that, he doesn't mean that you're going to live to 70 years, and if you don't drop dead then, you'll drop dead when you're 80. He gives an average lifespan. Now, that's the way it is. 1,000 years is with the Lord as a day, and a day is 1,000 years. So when you come to millennial reign, he says a man shall live to be 100 years old. Does that mean that he lives to be exactly 100 years old and at the toll of midnight that night he drops dead? And if he doesn't receive Christ before that, he's going to hell? Well, if he doesn't receive Christ before he reaches death, before he dies, why, he's going to hell. But that's an average lifespan for man. Did you ever look at those? Now, the ones in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, where he gives all their ages back there, that's true. That's exactly how long they lived. But when you get over in our time frame, he gives an average life frame, 70 years, 80 years. You know that some people live to 110. Some people die when they're 40. And they're already wrinkled up and look terrible. So it's just an average lifespan. That's all it is. Now, I do know this from it. The average lifespan will be at least 30, 40 years more than it is now. But it does not mean that a man on the stroke of midnight, on his 100th birthday, will drop dead. Absolutely not. What it does mean that some people may live to be 80. Some people may live to be 100. Some people may live to be 120. That's what it means. It means the average lifespan will be about 120, but it does not mean that the guy's going to drop dead at age 100. Well, I'll talk about that, you know, sometime in the future, and I'll go through and I'll show you why I know that's true. Have you ever wondered when those saved in the millennium will be judged by God? I wondered a lot about it, and I wondered what they'd be doing, and I wondered if God put it in the Bible. And so I began to study the millennial reign. I began to study all that had to do with the millennial reign, all that had to do with the thousand-year reign of Christ and everything that applied to it. And I came up with something very interesting that it all fits into. Please read this chapter very carefully. I am in complete agreement with the teaching that all the lost of all the ages will appear at the judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, that's what everybody believes. And I believe that. This great white throne judgment, all the lost will be there. They will be judged. And every one of them will be cast in a lake of fire. I guarantee it. They've taught that for years. And it's correct. I don't have any problem with it. But please check the chronological context very carefully. And then ask yourself some questions about what you read. Most people that go to church listen to what the preacher says and what he teaches, and they do not think for themselves because they have so much respect for the man and they have so little respect for their own opinions that they don't examine it. I don't mind you disagreeing with me at all. I'm a person that tries to study the Word. I'm a student of it, and I teach it to people. And I want people to think about it. And if I'm wrong, I want to know it. Because that's the way you learn. Only God understands everything in this book. And Lord, if it was known how much of what he understands and I understand, it would be less than a minuscule. Now, he says, please check the chronological context very carefully. And then ask yourself some questions after what you have read. That's what we're going to do. Please remember as you read this, and I'm not going to ask any questions, so don't be nervous. He's going to ask me something. Don't worry, I will not ask you anything. I do not like to be asked anything when I'm setting out in a Sunday school lesson. I do not like to be anything because I do not like to look stupid, and I do not like everything in the Bible. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, that's not very spiritual. Yes, it is. I'm telling you the truth. Who likes to look stupid? And they ask you who the fifth son of the eighth daughter of Manasseh was. I don't have the foggiest idea. So I tell people the truth. Believe it or not, at one time, it was hard to ask me a question I didn't know the answer to. But at age 82, I'm not even sure what my name is, and I've got it tacked in here. So he says, please remember that I do believe all the lost will be judged at the great white throne of judgment, but the discourse has some interesting comparisons between verses 12 that are worth exploring. So let's look at them. First of all, he says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The key to understanding this final judgment involves the consistent chronological pattern followed from Revelation 19:11 to 21:1, which begins with the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period in Revelation 19:11. I'm going to show you the chronology before it. I'm going to prove to you that it has no breaks in it whatsoever. And that is how you interpret this verse. Now, you don't have to know Greek to know this, understand it. You don't have to be a high floating rig and a critic and a high critic and all that stuff. You just be a poor old boy out in the country behind a plow and you can figure this out. And that's where I was raised, and that's the way we were taught to study. We were taught to listen to the preacher, and most of them would preach evangelistic messages, and then they'd tell us to go home and study prophecy and study this and study that and see if we could figure it out ourselves. We thought a little Greek was a fellow that lived over in Greece. We didn't know what Greek was. He said, end of the tribulation period in 1911. And I saw heaven open, and I behold a white horse. This is where we're going to start our chronological. I'll get it right in a minute. He deals with the Antichrist, Revelation 19:11. We're going to begin. And I saw the heavens open, behold a white horse. Of course, that's Jesus. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true. He's the only one that ever was completely faithful and true. And in righteousness, his righteousness, he doth judge and make war. We don't have a thing to worry about because he's already given us his righteousness. And we're really going to be coming back with him to rule and reign on earth. He deals with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and finishes off their armies in Revelation 19 through 21. He's going to deal with these armies that are down here on the earth. He's going to deal with the Antichrist. He'll still be here. So this is all chronological. Here comes the Lord. Okay. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Okay. And the beast was taken. Okay, that's what happened. And with him the false prophet. That's what happens. And it's chronological. 1, 2, 3. It happened in a chronological order. This gets boring, but I tell you what, it helps in answer a lot of questions. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Okay, he had deceived a bunch of people that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. Now, here's the next chronological thing that happens. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. All this is in perfect chronological order. Well, what about the remnant? And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That happened in that order perfectly. Now, let's see what happened next. And I'm going to stay in chronological order. Then the old devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years in Revelation 22. That happens right after they're thrown in. The devil is cast into the bottomless pit. He isn't cast into the lake of fire until later on. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Put him into the abyssu phreatos, the bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. Okay, that happened next, didn't it? The Antichrist, false prophet, overran the remnant. After they were thrown before God, wiped out the remnant of his army that was left. And then Satan himself is thrown into a bottomless pit. Everyone in absolute perfect chronological order, and it's all in context. And he is released when the 1,000 years are expired. Okay. That's the next thing that happens to him. All this is chronological. And leads a rebellion against the people of the Lord. He has his armies devoured by fire out of heaven from God, and is cast eternally into the lake of fire and brimstone with the Antichrist and the false prophet, as detailed in Revelation 20:7 through 10. We're sticking straight with chronological context. I mean, there is no deviation from it. Revelation 20:7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Aha. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. By this time, the descendants of Gog and Magog, who carried the Israelites back at the end of the destruction of the Antichrist and rushed them back to Israel in the 66th chapter of Isaiah, will have spread all over the surface of this earth. But I'm going to look you right in the eye and tell you point blank. I imagine every one of you has Gog and Magog blood in you. Did you ever think about that? Can you go back that far? Listen, we have blood in us of Gog and Magog right now. Some of you out there have it, and I may have it, Gog and Magog. Because they survived. And they flourished. And through the millennial reign, they're going to flourish. And these are the descendants of those people. And all the earth is going to have Gog and Magog descendants all over it. You say, are you sure of that? I'm absolutely positive. Why? Because these people, the Gog and Magogites, are just as carnal as we are, in the same spiritual condition as we are. And they've got a whole new 1,000-year period in which they're given a chance to be saved. Some of them do and some of them don't. I want you to think about it. I don't mind you disagreeing, but think about why you disagree with it. He says, to gather them together to battle. Well, who are they going to battle? The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Man, listen, Gog and Magog are going to flourish throughout the millennial reign. You say you don't know that. Oh, yes, I do. God says so. God says so. This isn't something you have to sit and think, well, I never thought of that. Lord have mercy, it's been there all that time. And a lot of people out in the country figured it out, like me. And a lot of people in the church, people out there didn't have a seminary. Didn't have Greek. They thought Greek was part of Greece over there. Sometimes they called it the Greek country. But in any case, the Bible is not complicated. We have made it complicated because we have not asked for more of God's Holy Spirit. The Lord made a very poignant point. He said, you know, if you have a son and he asks you for a loaf of bread, will you give him a scorpion? And he said, if you ask a son for a fish, will you? If you ask your son for a loaf of bread, will he give him and he went through all that and he said, if your earthly father will give you that, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him for it? You say, boy, Bob McMurray, you're going holy roller. Absolutely not. I ask God to give me of his knowledge to use to teach to the people. And if I get it from the Holy Spirit, I feel good about it and I preach it with authority. And if I can't do that, then I just find something else. Because a preacher that doesn't realize how much help he needs is not a good pastor. And I didn't realize how much I needed till I came up here and started trying to feed you and realized my feed was corrupted. I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. He says, and compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. That's That's the millennial Jerusalem. That's where I want to live. Did you ever measure that thing out in Ezekiel? In Ezekiel, you measure it out, and the blasted thing, I don't want to call it the blasted thing, the thing goes all the way from the Mediterranean Sea. It goes all the way across into Jordan, and on the other side of Jordan, it goes over that far. And it goes as far north as Hazor, which is almost up in Syria. This is the wall of the city. And it goes all the way south down to Kadesh Barnea. It's a huge place. And man, got plenty of room to roam around in there. And you're going to have a lot of people in there. And you're going to have a lot of people outside of it. And everybody's going to work for God. But let me tell you what I believe the reward is. The more you surrender to Him here, the more He'll give you to do there. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or whether you're a man or whether you're a child that's trying to serve God. God knows what your future is. And when He comes, believe it or not, God can take all that into account. I quit trying to figure a lot of this stuff out. I said, I'm like Ezekiel when he answered that angel. The angel asked him a question. He said, Lord, Thou knowest. Because he didn't have the faintest idea. And when a preacher gets to the point where he realizes you don't have the faintest idea, do you? Then I turn to God and I say, I'm sorry I haven't asked you lately, but would you please give me more of your Spirit? And when I first started doing this, I thought, well, Lord, I'm not able to burst. But you see, God wouldn't let me burst. And one of the first things I learned is, you got to have confidence in God. You've got to be like a little child. You've got to realize, man, He's my Father. And He has all power in heaven and earth. And He tells me if I'll ask for more of His Spirit, He'll give it. Well, why am I asking? Because He's my Heavenly Father. And He knows everything. And He's got all power. The Bible is a very simple book if you ask God for more of His Spirit. Because God gives it. And I'm not a holy roller, and I don't speak in tongues. And speaking in tongues is wrong. It's a childish play game. In the early church, the women started playing around with it. Ladies, I'm sorry. But you ladies are worse than we men are at talking about each other. I'm sorry. I've been around, and I hear the voices go down when I'm approaching. And so you're worse than I am, and I try to butter you up all the time, but you're worse than we are. Aren't you going to amen that, Kenneth?
Amen. I was waiting to see how
he did. He says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and thus far be tormented day and night forever. Okay. Now, thus far, a pattern of perfect chronology has been laid out before us. Not one break in it. And this is what I think made it hard for the teachers. Not all of them, but some of them that I talked to and some other preachers I've talked to. They look at this and it kind of catches them. And when I first saw it, it caught me too. Not one break in it. And the Bible does have breaks in it. When the Holy Spirit talks about one thing, shifts over to another and shifts back. That's the hardest thing to do in interpreting prophecy, but this is not difficult. And it continues to be picture perfect right up to Revelation 20:15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, that's... Now, we need to carefully examine Revelation 20:11-15. In a sequence of chronological events that begins in Revelation 19:11 and continues in perfect chronology, perfect contextual chronology for 26 verses to Revelation 21:1. Revelation 20:21-12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw, this is John, This is John, the writer of Revelation. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. We see a group of men and women standing before God with the book of life and other books being opened, out of which they are judged according to their works. Are you going to be judged for your works? Are you saved? Yeah. They're saved. And I'll show you why. We see a group of men and women standing before God with a book of life and other books being opened. I suppose the other books are books that have to do with your daily lives, out of which they are judged according to their works. Now, you're not going to be here, but there are definitely going to be people saved in a millennial reign. And I fear God to the depths of my soul if I get anything wrong in His Word. And I'm telling you, this is the truth. The book of life is open because the names of this group are in it. They are all those men and women saved during the millennial reign of Christ. I'll prove it to you. They will be judged for rewards for their works, just as were the saved caught out more than 1,000 years prior to this judgment. Following their judgment, they will be removed. This is the people that are going to be judged for their works during the millennium. They will be removed quickly from the great white throne locale. Then a second group will be collected from hell, the sea, and the grave, and assembled before God. Okay, let's look at Revelation 20:13. Okay, where are the dead right now? Where are they? Well, they're either on land or on the sea. And what happens here? These people came from death. You know what that is? That's the grave. Their bodies are in the grave. And the people in the millennial reign are going to die and be buried. They're going to live anywhere from 90 to 120 years. That's used for a figure to let you know what the average lifespan is. What's your average lifespan? You already know what it is. And hell. Man, that's the souls in torment down in hell. That's where they are. Delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I don't see any book of life there. But let's go on. The chronology has been perfect from Revelation 19:11 to Revelation 20:13. And it does not break down here. The chronology has been perfect all the way up to here. So there must be two different groups judged separately at the great white throne judgment. Why? Verse 12. And I saw the dead. John saw them in verse 12. Small and great, stand before God. He sees them standing there. Now, how could he see them standing there and the sea gave up the dead which were in it? That's chronological. This thing has been chronological all the way through. The context is chronological. And death is the grave. Ask anybody that knows anything about Greek. It's the grave. And gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. How could John have actually seen the group in verse 12 standing before God to be judged if they were not resurrected until verse 13? You understand? That can't happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? How could John have actually seen the group in verse 12 standing before God to be judged if they were not resurrected with until verse 13? They come out at a different time. They're resurrected first. And then after they're judged for their works, their names are already in the book of life. And they are quickly removed from the scene. And here comes the judgment of all the lost. The souls of all lost men and women are in hell. The souls of all saved men and women are in heaven. The bodies of both the saved and the lost are either in water, that's the grave, in the sea, or the land graves, that's death. The particles of the bodies of the verse 3 resurrection that historically held lost souls are delivered from the dust or the liquid surface of the earth and reunited with their lost souls that verse 12 represents those who are saved in the millennium, and their souls in heaven will be reunited with glorified bodies that were resurrected before those in verse 13. Why is this important? We're going to live with these people. They won't be able to see us, but, well, they'll be judged and they'll be running around with us. And the people that go through, that are carried through out of the actual period of time known as the wrath, the seven vials of wrath, we're going to be out there working for God. And I'm telling you, whatever, we won't have the ability to rebel against God. We won't have the ability. I don't want it. You know, I used to be afraid when I was a little boy, after I was saved, oh man, I'll lose part of myself. Man, I now know that what the part is, I'm delighted. I'm delighted. And, you know, your mom won't switch you anymore. She won't switch you anymore. And your daddy will probably have the same sense of humor. But I am looking forward to this with great anticipation. And I'm looking forward to seeing, I've done a lot of funerals for some of you, and I'm looking forward to seeing those people. Because they're very real to me. And when I'm doing the funeral, I'm doing that funeral. And if you think I'm sad inside, you're quite wrong. I sometimes cry because I miss them. But I'm not sad inside. I'm happy. And so, because I know where they are, I'm sure I'm epigenosco where they are. And so I can just stand up there and, man, I can be happy all the way through. And I hope to God, if it's His will, that He'll leave me here until the rapture. Because I don't care one way or the other. But I would like to be here with all you when we go up. And I'd like to see all you and myself getting together with them and just going from person to person and light to light, if you will, and just going around and having a wonder time. And I also hope that they have a hamburger joint up there, because Kenneth has promised me for 40 years he's going to take me out and buy me a hamburger.
We'll have to go get one before we go.
No, that's not. I hope they don't have a coffee place like that up yet over there, is it? The lost of all the ages will appear before the great white throne just after the millennial saved. They won't both be there at the same time. Just after the millennial saved, all of the lost millennium will be in the second group, though the millennium will be in the second group. All the names of the first group will be in the book of life. None of the names of the second group will appear there. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. I don't know where that chapter. Oh, maybe it's under here. And there were groups judged separately at the great white throne itself. Why? And I saw the dead, small and great. Did I already go over that? I did. So it's another black mark for you, April. Or okay. Yeah. Well, now, I didn't use any Greek. I didn't use anything else. And when I was young, I could just see, I didn't know any Greek. And I had teachers that beat me on the hand to where people say, "Brother McLemore, you have a beautiful handwriting. If you'd have had Sister Ford, you would too. She beat you on the hand with it." And I thought she broke my knuckles one day, and she hit Bob Rose over the head. And it was a short ruler, and she broke it over Bob Rose's head. So, it was a little different when we went to school. We didn't. If we run home and told our parents, then they'd whip us. They wouldn't say a word to them about it. Okay.